Thank you, Miss Brenda. I want to talk to you this morning about one of the greatest truths in the Bible, not only in the Bible, but in our lives. Obedience brings blessing. Now think of that. I grew up in a house with my father that you never ask why. Did anybody else relate to that? Where no meant no. And you didn't say, well, Dad, no. You would be picking yourself up in the living room off the floor. When Dad said no, it simply meant no. And don't ask again. And so I learned with my father that being obedient to him was really rewarding for me. And being unobedient or disobedient to him was really painful for me. Now, I've told you all along that I'm not the smartest guy in this room by a long shot, but it didn't take me long to figure that out. When I didn't do what I was supposed to do, here's what happened. When I did what I was supposed to do, boy, it was nice. So you can relate to that. And then I started compartmentalizing my life. And I would think, you know what? I have to act this way around Dad because if not, I'm going to get this. But I didn't really act that way around my friends because the level of expectation was not the same. And then at work, I would get great grades at work because I was on time and I was courteous. And so I would compartmentalize my whole life where obedience brings blessing. I wanted to do a really good job at work so I could get a raise. And so I was on time and I did what I was supposed to do. I wanted to really do a good job at home because I didn't want to be punished. But then there were certain things in my life that there were no punishment boundaries and I could be a complete different person. And it took me a long time to realize that you can't compartmentalize God. Because we like to put God in our little box. And we like to move him around like he's a pawn. And we like to put him where we want him in our lives or where we need him at that particular time. But it took me a while to realize that obedience brings blessings in all areas of my life, not just in my church life or in my home life or in my life, and not in little boxes. And I pray that's what we see this morning as we open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, it's in the Old Testament. It's right after the book of Numbers. Now I want you to keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 11 this morning because we're going to turn back to it. But Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we begin reading in verse 26. And I want you to notice just the very first sentence. It says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse." And the blessing is, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and the curse is if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and you turn away. That's on the screen. It says, I command you today, go ahead. I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. And when the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, then you're to proclaim these things. Now go back to the first one, Karen. Go back to the, there you go. If you obey the commandments of God. Now see, that reminds me of my dad. If you obey the commandments in our home, then here's your reward. Or it could be a curse. Now obviously God is on a much different level than my dad. I mean, it's about my totality of life. It's about your totality of life. The truth is that obedience to God will bring a blessing in your life. It's the truth. It is a promise. It's not a, if I am obedient, will I be blessed? It is that if you will be obedient to the Lord God in the totality of your life, you will be blessed. I like that promise. It's the first principle of understanding what it means to be a true child of God. And failure to understand this very first principle and failure to implement it in our life is to forfeit God's best through you. So my question to begin this morning is, do you really believe and love God? Can you know that you truly do? Do you really believe and do you really love God? And the Bible says, well, you can know that you do in 1 John chapter 5. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His what? Commands, being obedient. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. So how do we know if we love God? If we're being obedient to God. How do we know if we're being obedient to God? And so just as true of that is the opposite. Those that do not obey God do not love God. Boy, that's harsh, isn't it? But isn't it true? Those that do not obey God, they don't love God. You see, the whole book of 1 John, I love 1 John, which I know you know, but the whole book of 1 John is addressed to those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is a book that challenges us. It is a book that tests us. It tests our faith, that you've heard me say this before, that our video matches our audio. And it puts that test into action. Those who love God will obey God. Those who trust God, those who have faith in God, will obey God. It goes back to that faith thing. Gathering the knowledge. Gathering the knowledge. Deciding if I believe and then acting upon it. That's faith. And when I gather that knowledge and I believe it, my action is I obey the commands of God. Some of you will remember these things, but I had a real high mileage Ford Bronco 2. It was a stick shift, and I drove it all through college and while I was courting Karen. And boy, it was old and it was loud and it was, you know what? But I trusted that dude. And I would drive it everywhere. Didn't care. I would have driven it to wherever because I trusted it. And then when Karen and I got married, I got demoted a little bit and I got this little Ford Ranger that every time I'd stop at a stoplight, there was a chance that the brakes would lock up and I would just slide right through the stoplight. And after that happened 4 or 5 times, Karen says, you know, we might ought to think about getting those brakes fixed. Dawning idea, wasn't it? But I didn't trust that vehicle. And I wasn't going to drive it very far because I didn't trust it. I wasn't going to take it across the county, much less the country. And have you ever thought about God in that way? You see, we use a lot of religious phrases. We say, trust in the Lord. Have faith. We say all of these things, but do we practice those terms? Do we practice what they really mean? When we say trust in the Lord, to me, a lot of times we'll say, I'm praying for you. And instead of leaning on what that really means, we take it as just a comfort. And we say, thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. But do we really grasp what it means when somebody says, I'm going to pray for you, that I trust you, I trust you, Lord. Trust in the Lord in practical terms It's not just a saying. When you go to a doctor, if he tells you that you have a particular medical condition, and you take the medication that he prescribes and the doses that he says, that is proof that you believe him, that you obey him, you do what he tells you to do. Well, God is our creator. Do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that God is the creator of all of the world? What is the proof then? The proof is that you trust Him. The proof is that you obey Him. The proof is that you live for Him. The proof is that He is the most important aspect in your life. Is that your proof? Is that what you're standing on this morning? Your proof? If you will not obey what God has said, then that is proof that you don't believe in Him. You don't trust Him. You see, I believe He exists. You believe He exists. You could ask 90% of the people in this community, is there a God? And they would say, yes, there's a God. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about, is there God? I know there's a doctor in town named Dr. Brown. I've never been to Dr. Brown, and I don't have to believe in Dr. Brown. Why? Because Dr. Brown doesn't mess with me. I've never been there for him to do anything to me. But when I go seek his help, will be the determining factor of whether I believe in that guy or not, when I obey what he says to do. And at that point, I've put all my trust in Dr. Brown. Because I don't know anything about that stuff. You see, many people put great stock in the fact that they believe that there is a God. But listen, knowing that there is a God won't save you. Knowing that there is a God will not reserve a spot in heaven for you. That's what James 2 reminds us. James 2 says even the devil believes. People put great stock in reading the Bible. One of my greatest heroes of all times, General George Patton. I quote him all the time. I love, but here's what General George Patton said. General George Patton was asked what he thought about the Bible. You know what he said? He said, I read the blankety blank thing every day. That's what he said. So reading the Bible is not going to save you. Oh, it's a great book. It's a great storybook. But there's no magic in just opening up and reading the Bible. And lots of folks read the Bible and they're going to die and they're going to go to hell in their sin. But they've read the Bible. Why are they going to hell? Because it's not reading the Bible that says, it is obeying and following God's word that teaches men God's righteous ways. It is being obedient to Christ is the key to get to those pearly gates. It's obeying the commandments of God. There are people that put stock in thinking and meditating on God's word. I've heard someone commenting on a person that's in a cult. Or maybe that is in a false religion, we would call, and they're not serving the Lord, and then somebody says about them, but they really know their Bible. Listen, if you really know your Bible, then you know God. If you really know your Bible, then you know God. You can't know your Bible without knowing God. And then James reminds us that faith by itself, without works, is dead, right? And so you'll have some people that say that you have faith and I have works, and that's not the way it goes. Our audio must match our video. Here's the truth of the matter. If a person is truly saved, they'll be obedient to God. If a person is truly saved, they'll be obedient to God. You see, they trust in the Lord. They believe what He says. This makes them obedient. It makes them want to obey. Now, those that don't want to obey the Bible, God gives that every option to everyone in here. You have that option. God will not force himself upon you. He will allow you to be disobedient for a time, even the saved. And then he's going to discipline you, and he's going to put some obstacles in your life in order to try to draw you back. But if you refuse to do as God says through the Bible says to don't call yourself a believer. If you're going to refuse and continue to refuse to do what God says, because your actions show that you're not. You don't want God to interfere with what you're doing? You don't want God to interfere with the way you like to live and the things you like to do? That's okay. God gives you that option. But do not expect God to bless you. If you don't live as he says, which means to live a decent, respectable, abundant, happy, saved life, then he'll allow you to live however you want to. We make that decision. We make that option. But however, don't expect to live this happy and productive life that God is in the middle of and that he's blessing you. Don't expect to win your friends and family to Christ that are lost and on their way to hell. Don't expect God to answer your prayers. Don't expect God to be in your midst. And don't be alarmed when God begins to discipline you to put things in your path in order to correct your sin. You see, by not wanting to live as God commands, by telling God no, by not wanting to work in our lives as God wants to work, here's what I'm telling God. God, leave me alone. God, I know better than what you know for my life. God, I don't need your help because I understand what makes me happy. Now, how many of you would stand up this morning and say, that's what I'm telling God? Probably not very many of us, would we? But what I'm telling you this morning is we tell God that a lot. And we tell him that because we're not as obedient as he wants us to be. And when we're not obedient, that is the message that we're sending to God. God, I don't need you. I got this. You ever done that? I got this, God. I don't need you. I know more than you. I know what makes me happy. I know why I'll have a good time. And then back over in Deuteronomy, go back over there. I told you to hold your finger there. Look at verse 1. It talks about a cursing and a blessing. Here's the blessing. Verse 1 in chapter 11, I'm sorry. It says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments. And I love the last word. Always. Oh. That's like old dad, right? No means no. Always. Not sometimes. Not when it's convenient. Not when you're around church people. Not when you're not at work. Always. Keep his commandments always. And then verse 8 says, God keep God's commandments and you will be strong. In verse 8. And go and take possession of that land that you're going to possess. Those who do not obey God's word, let me tell you how you know who they are. They're like tumbleweeds. Karen and I were driving to Grand Canyon all week long. We're driving 3,000 miles to go to see this hole in the ground. And we got these two kids in the back, and I'm thinking, my Lord God, give me patience. I shouldn't say that because I learned not to pray for patience. But Lord, give me wisdom to be nice about this because we're going to see a hole in the ground. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. If you don't believe in God, go see the Grand Canyon. I'll go back. But we get out there, and the temperature changes in this Arizona deal, and we're driving on the interstate, and these tumbleweeds and this dust storm just start sweeping across the road. And they're sticking on the fences. That's what a person who does not obey Christ, what they look like. Why? Because they're not rooted in anything. And every time the wind blows, they just go wherever the direction of the wind. You see it in young people all the time. They're just following this guy and this person and this girl and this leader and this and this, because they're not rooted inside of anything. A tumbleweed is dead. It's dead. It's not rooted. It has no roots, so it has nothing attached to, so it just goes wherever the wind blows. And folks, those who do not believe in Christ, those who are not obedient to the Word of God, that's all they are, is a tumbleweed. And they just blow wherever the wind blows. Why? Because they're not rooted in anything. They're dead. They have no roots. They're without life. And that's the way of the world. But it should not be the way of a child of God. The child of God is alive in Christ. The child of God is not dead. It is rooted in Christ. But I know, sadly, some professing Christians, believers, who should act like this deep-rooted oak tree that's been here for years and years and years because they're rooted, that are blown away by every little wind of trouble. And James teaches us that that man has no faith. That man has no faith who's tossed about in every wind of doctrine, who questions everything that comes into my life. I don't know about you, but I used to follow the Promise Keepers. I got to speak at one of those deals, those men gatherings. They're huge things, but one thing I really liked about Promise Keepers is that they take the weak and the uprooted, and they are being exposed for who they are. Weak and uprooted. A mature Christian who knows his Bible will not get caught up in deceptive movement that ignores doctrine and that is completely false and that is chasing rabbits. One that destroys biblical truth. You will not be involved in that. You will not be a tumbleweed. For when many a troubling wind comes, that tumbleweed gets blown away. And then when the wind blows again, it goes the other way and the other way. Have you noticed that when some church members have trouble, they stay away from church? When some church people have financial trouble, what do they do first? They quit giving. They stop. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 said we're to rejoice when those trials come our way. Why are we to rejoice? Because God's training us. He's maturing us. He's teaching us. What's He teaching, Billy? I want to know what He's teaching. He is teaching you to depend on Him. That's what He's teaching you. He's teaching you to be obedient to Him. Now look at verse 9 in chapter 11. Keep God's commandments and your days will be prolonged. Live as God says and you will live longer. God's way means to live a clean and pure life. We control some of the things that we put in our body. Then verse 13. Diligently obey God. Diligently obey God. What does that mean? That means with great attention and great energy. Diligently obey God. And when you do, what's the promise from God? God says, I'll give you rain. God says, I'll send grass to your fields. God says your material prosperity is tied directly to your obedience in Him. Many run businesses and they conduct their business and financial affairs without a thought to what God has said. And they'll suffer the consequences. Most professing Christians, the numbers tell us 80% of them don't tithe. How about that? Yet they think God's going to bless them. And they think God's going to bless them, well, because I come every Sunday. So God's going to bless them. Do you really believe what God tells us in the Bible? If you do, say amen. Then is that what you live? Are you obeying it? Is it who you are? Do you do what you say you're going to do and then you prove it by living God's obedience, God's commandments, by obedience in your life, trusting in His promises and living because He says it's true? You see, I think many times God tests us in this area. He let us have some money to see what we'll do with it. He gives us things in our life to see how we'll react and act. Will it change us? Will we still be humble? Is it then become all about you and less about Him? And then you'll find yourself with little or nothing, especially on the inside. Notice verse 22. If you carefully keep these commandments, love the Lord and walk in His way, here's what He'll do. I'll drive out enemies before you. I'll make you more powerful than those that oppose you. You say, Billy, what is all this saying? It's saying that God will bless those who do right. God will bless those who are obedient to Him. And those that do wrong will suffer their mistakes. And they will suffer because they're doing wrong. God says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is what? Death. There was a young man in one of our earlier churches that Karen and I had. And he was going down the wrong road, and we counseled him and counseled him and counseled him on many occasions. He was headed for trouble. We tried to open the Bible with him and give him some sound biblical advice that would have kept him out of trouble, but he refused. You know, there's a lot of times in life that someone can't help you until you decide you're going to help yourself. And that's where this man was. He was not ready to help himself. If you've got kids and grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. They know all there is to know until they decide, I need help. Well, this young man wasn't there. He wasn't there. He refused the help. So he ends up going into the army. He was a professing Christian, yet he would not obey God. And he gave his mom and dad a absolute terrible time, and finally he had to join the army. And after serving 2 years, he commits this big crime. They put him in whatever the army does with him, a dishonorable discharge. He's serving 2 or 3 years, still living this confused and this really worthless life. Listen, if you do not do what God says, then how in the world can you be upset by the trouble that comes your way? But we'll be the first one to cry foul, won't we? Well, to wrap this up, you know obedience brings blessings. And obedience is the base of believing God. Not only believing that He is there, but trusting in Him to allow Him to have the rule in your life. I am obedient to God in every facet, every place in my life. Doing things right means that things will work out. I put myself into God's care. Listen, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it doesn't seem knowledgeable, God, you know best. God, you know best. And then what disobeying God will bring, it brings you trouble. How about those that have disobeyed God and before they die, they haven't accepted His Son as their Savior? How desperate is that? It brings eternal death. My question to you this morning, you that are professing Christians, do you believe and do you trust God and do you have that saving faith? And then is that evidenced in that you are living? Are you seeking and have success at obeying God? Would you honestly admit to the truth? Do you love God? And is your audio match your video? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never repented. You've never turned toward God. You've never received Christ as your Savior. And that's His command to you. That's His instructions. That is for us to be obedient to answer His call. You say, do you believe in God? Then do as He says. Receive Him. Walk the aisle this morning and accept Him. Profess that you trust Him. That is His command. And then for you that have accepted Him, I would ask you this morning, are you letting God advise your life? Are you living the best life you can through God? Every one of us in this room want the very best for our kids and our grandkids. I don't think there's one person in here that would wish ill on their kids and grandkids. So what do you think God wishes for you? What do you think God wishes for you? The very, very best. But it's up to you to accept that. Don't leave this morning without in your own mind knowing that, you know what? I need to be obedient to God. Whatever phase of that my life that is. And God will take care of the rest. That goes from somebody that's been saved 50 years to somebody that's never been saved. Be obedient to God and He will bless your life. Father God, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the truth in Your Word, Father, that obedience brings blessing in our life and disobedience just simply brings trouble. Father, I pray that this room, no one in this room would be a tumbleweed going here and there, being blown everywhere. Father, but we would sink our heels into the Word of God and we would proclaim the promises that are in Your Word. Father, and we would stand on them even when it doesn't seem like it's the smart thing to do or it's confusing or it's not financial gain. But Father, our audio would match our video and that You would be completely in charge of our lives. And Father, we may come this morning to this altar just to remind ourselves and to lift a prayer up to You. Father, that's who I want to be. I'm not there yet, but I'm gaining on it, Father. And just give me the strength to continue to gain on You being the all of everything in my life. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know who You are, maybe today is that day. Father, if there's one here that's been disobedient to You in any part of their life, may they repent that today. May they come to the altar and repent. And then turn it over to You and say, Father, I want my audio to match my video. Father, we lift this time up to You. We ask You to bless it. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me this morning?